It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to Fade the Chalk, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here with the solo recap edition of Week 13. What happened in the NFL, fantasy football, all that great stuff for Week 13. We will break it all down here on Fade the Chalk. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. And yeah, we will just do what we always do here on Monday, right? Go through the games, talk about some interesting tidbits, stats, trends, usage, injuries, all that great stuff from the week that was. I will say I had so far it's been a pretty good week. Depends what happens in a handful of hours when the Bills host the Patriots for their most important game of the season. So that is going to be very telling to see how my Week 13 ultimately ends up looking like. But before we get to these games, got to mention the FTN lineup edge optimizer package. Look, if you're playing any sort of DFS, whether it's baseball, which obviously, you know, baseball lockout potentially right now, you know, baseball will be back and you're going to want to play DFS. But we obviously have football right now, NBA, PGA, all four of those sports, we have the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package 4. Starting at $49.99 per month, you get all four sports optimizers with player and roster percentage projections for just that one low price. And you can build your bankroll using the Lineup Edge Optimizer. And the best part about it is if you use the code FTNTV, you get 15% off every month. That's not just one time and then, okay, you're done with it. This is every single month you get 15% off. So again, use that code FTNTV, get 15% off the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package every single month. Let's get to the games. And going through the games when I was taking some notes, you know, there's always one or two games each week where it's like, okay, there's really not a ton of fantasy implications from these games. But I feel like there was a little bit more in this on this slate. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll get to it. This game had a handful, though. Philadelphia goes to the Jets and wins 33-18. This game was weird. This game started off looking like a shootout. I mean, the first like four possessions, both teams are just scoring touchdown after touchdown. Gardner Minshew gets the start for Jalen Hurts, who had an ankle injury, and very solid game. 20 for 25, 242 yards, a pair of touchdowns. Both go to Dallas Goedert, who clearly was his guy in this game. Goedert, a career day for Dallas Goedert. Six catches, 105 yards, and two scores on six targets. Per usual, the Eagles ran the football in this game. They've been the most run-heavy team in the NFL. Over the last 5 or 6 weeks, they're pushing like 70% run rate. It's an absurd amount. And look, this time last week, it was, oh man, Miles Sanders, great spot against the Giants, only had 9 carries. And the ankle injury was a huge reason, right? He aggravated the ankle on the opening run of the third quarter in that game, and he barely played in the second half. We saw a lot of Boston Scott. But practice in full leading up to this game, Boston Scott did not practice with an illness, and he barely played. He was on special teams, I believe, and he ended up playing 3 offensive snaps. So it was really Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell. And in this game, Miles Sanders, a career-high 24 carries, 120 yards, didn't score, but he had 27 touches in this game. Like, that's the usage we've been waiting for Miles Sanders. Unfortunately, he aggravated the ankle injury again on a run, was down for a little bit, but then limped off. He said after the game, I believe, in an interview that he expects to be fine. The Eagles have a bye in Week 14, so it gives them a week to get right. But you do wonder, in this game, right, Gainwell's been there, and Gainwell got 12 carries. A lot of those carries came. He did break a touchdown run. Like, he got a decent amount of work. The Eagles ran the ball enough to where both running backs could get a good amount of work, but he was obviously the running back after Sanders didn't play the last couple drives in the game. Game was pretty much out of reach. They didn't want to put Sanders back in. Of course, why would you? But you have to wonder, in Week 15, because they're off in Week 14, Jordan Howard could be back, who's played well this year. When he's gotten the ball, he's played well. Boston Scott's going to have a role. Gainwell's still the two-minute and passing downs back in this offense when he's active. So you do have to wonder, although we did see 24 carries and 27 touches from Miles Sanders, and that's great, you do wonder how much that drops in Week 15 if the Eagles' backfield is close to full strength. And with Jalen Hurts back, who's going to run the ball 8 to 10 times himself. So it's encouraging. I love the matchup. I wrote about it in the advanced matchups article at FTN Daily that like the Jets, they allowed the most yards before contact in the NFL. The Eagles lead the NFL in, or Miles Sanders is second among all running backs in yards before contact per rush. The Eagles as a whole, second in the NFL in yards before contact per rush. So it was a smash spot for Sanders. He didn't score, but it was still a productive game. We'll see how he feels coming out of the bye. For the Jets, it's really just Elijah Moore who continues to play outstanding football. Six catches, 77 yards, and a score on a team-high 12 targets. Probably should have had a second touchdown, but Zach Wilson just missed him. I mean, Elijah Moore was balling out for a little bit with Mike White and Joe Flacco under center. Then there were some concerns if Zach Wilson's back, if that camaraderie is going to be there, if Corey Davis is going to eat into the target share because they were very, you know, they were very, they had a nice connection in preseason in the beginning of the year. But the last 2 weeks, or so the last 3 weeks, Elijah Moore has a 30%+ target share in three straight games. And two of those games, the last two, have been with Zach Wilson. So you look at this game, like Devonta Smith on the other side, 2 for 15. There is zero chance you're ranking Devonta Smith higher than Elijah Moore rest of the season, like 0% chance. And you could make the case that Elijah Moore is the number two rookie receiver in fantasy going forward. You know, the top three is pretty clear. It's Waddle, Chase, and Elijah Moore. And then it's everybody else. So Elijah Moore has been fantastic. He's pretty much a must start. You know, as a number three receiver, as a flex, he needs to be in your lineup. The passing game is going through him. Corey Davis, he aggravated his groin injury again and left the game. That's not good. A Jets team that's going to be trailing all the time. Like Elijah Moore is going to get 8 to 12 targets pretty much every game from here on out. As for the backfield, yeah, Tevin Coleman got the work. Actually didn't look too bad in this game. 11 carries for 58 yards, but just not a lot of upside there. We'll see when Michael Carter's back from IR. But if you're starting anybody from the Jets outside of Elijah Moore, your fantasy team is probably in trouble, and I'll leave it at that. Well, the Lions did it. There will be no winless teams in the NFL this season. Detroit finally gets their first win, 29-27 over the Minnesota Vikings. Let's start with Detroit. Jamal Williams got the start for the injured DeAndre Swift. The volume was great, right? 17 carries, 71 yards, but he only ran 9 pass routes and only caught one pass. I thought, especially after last week, he'd get 5-6 catches in a game that they were eventually, you know, they were ahead in this game for a lot of it, but he wasn't really their third down back. He only ran 9 pass routes. That's a little concerning, especially in a situation where it's like the Lions played with a lead for the majority of this game. How often is that going to happen the rest of the season to where Jamal Williams can get 17 carries? I think Swift's going to miss another couple weeks. So like Williams is going to be in that low end RB2 range. But if he's not getting the passing down work that we might have thought he was going to get, that's definitely going to change. You know, it's going to hurt his upside, I think, is the best way to put it. Because, like, the Lions, yes, they won this game. But we know they're going to be trailing in most games going forward. And he just wasn't the third down back. He ran 9 pass routes in this game. It's a little concerning. And now you have to kind of hope that, unless something changes, you have to hope that the Lions to be fair, the Lions have been competitive despite having the record that they have. They really don't get blown out very often at all, which is good. But yeah, I mean, 9 pass routes for Williams is not great. 1 target, not great. So we'll keep an eye on that. T.J. Hockenson scored in this game. Definitely helped that the Vikings were without, I believe, both Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks in this game. Eric Kendricks is probably the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. It's why Minnesota was top three against tight ends all year. It's why I had no interest in Hockenson. They get ruled out, but he's still like 4 for 49 on 8 targets. He scored, like, it's fine, but like it's pretty clear Hockenson's been a little bit of a disappointment. Amon Ross St. Brown, who, again, if you listen to this podcast, I loved coming out of college. One of my favorite receivers in the class, and hasn't done much this year, but I don't know if I should look at this game and take it for a lot, but he had 10 catches for 86 yards in the game-winning touchdown as time expired. 12 targets, easily led the team. I think he could be on your radar in redraft leagues and stuff like in deeper redraft leagues. But this, as much as I love Amon-Ra, this game's probably one of those games where I'm like, okay, it was a good game, but I'm not expecting a ton rest of the season. The Minnesota side, no Dalvin Cook, so Alexander Mattison does what Alexander Mattison does when he starts. He produces, and he gets 25 touches. He got exactly 25 touchdowns in this game, 22 carries, 90 yards and a score, also adds 3 catches for 34 yards. I mean, the last 5 games he's played without Dalvin Cook, 25 touches per game. He handled 90%+ of the running back carries in this game. Or was it 80%? You know, it was over 90% of the running back touches and over 80% of the snaps. He played 64 snaps out of 76. Quick math tells me that's 84%. So, yeah, I mean, the usage didn't change. What we expected from Madison with no Dalvin Cook is what we got. So, Dalvin Cook, there was a report that they think he could be back for week 15. So, we're getting at least one more week of must-start top 7 running back status from Alexander Madison. And the Vikings plan a short week on Thursday. And that is extremely, extremely notable considering that Adam Thielen left this game and suffered a high ankle sprain, did not return. There is a very, very small chance he plays on Thursday. Justin Jefferson, 14 targets. He was out of control in this game. 11 catches, 182 yards and a touchdown. If you listen to the DFS podcast with myself and Frank Stample of CBS Fantasy, this was our favorite play of the week, pretty much. Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins. And yes, I did not expect Adam Thielen to get hurt in the beginning of the game, but he went off. And obviously starting him every week. But then now let's start talking about, you know, KJ Osborne, who caught 4 balls for 47 yards and a score, 7 targets. He stepped in as the clear number 2 receiver, was pretty much a full-time player. He actually played one more snap than Jefferson, ran 43 pass routes, one less than Jefferson, 7 targets. He will be a very viable wide receiver 3 if you need him next week, assuming Adam Thielen does not play. I'm trying to think of the teams that are on bye next week. So the Colts, so I mean Pittman, if you have to replace him. Jalen Waddle's on bye next week. The Eagles are on bye, I believe. So there are some avenues to where KJ Osborne can be placed into your lineup and you can feel decent about it. Conklin also had 9 targets, 7 for 56. Just missed a touchdown. It was called back. Couldn't get his foot down. He'll be back on that tight end streaming radar with Thielen out as well. Especially because, like, Thielen, we know, is the red zone guy, right? That's his role. He's one of the best touchdown scorers in the league. Those looks, and they did go to Conklin in this game, can continue to go to Conklin as long as Thielen's out. So it was a really slow start for Kirk Cousins, but if you streamed him, if you played him, it was a great fantasy game. 340 yards and 2 scores for Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, you're starting Jefferson, you're starting Madison, and now Conklin and Osborne enter the streaming radar if Adam Thielen can't play on Thursday night football. I think that's it from that game, though, so we can keep moving on to a wild game between the Chargers and Bengals. Chargers got out to an early lead, Bengals started to get back in the game, and then the Chargers pulled away. 41-22 victory. Justin Herbert, 317 yards and 3 touchdowns. Keenan Allen finally gets the touchdowns. I mean, he was getting, 8 catches for 80 yards pretty much every game, upwards of 13 targets every game, and just wasn't scoring, but matches his season total in touchdowns in this game with 2. Also threw a 2-point conversion to Justin Herbert, so that duo had a ton of fantasy points. And Mike Williams got off to a great start in this game, had a couple long catches of 40-plus yards, ultimately finishes with 110 yards on 5 catches, so a nice bounce-back game from Mike Williams. Eckler, a bit of a down game. He lost 2 fumbles in this game, but he still had 19 touches, 5 catches for 45 yards, had a rushing touchdown. I don't really have much to say from the Chargers. You're starting Herbert, you're starting Eckler, you're starting Allen. Mike Williams is a wide receiver 3, a very high-end wide receiver 3. And he got used down the field more in this game, which kind of fell off a bit. It's been up and down. Like, the beginning of the season, a lot more... intermediate targets for Mike Williams, which is why he was more consistent. Then it went to only downfield targets, and lately it's been a little bit of a mixture of both, which is really where you want Mike Williams for fantasy. So, other than that, I mean, Jared Cook's in that, like, tight end 15, 16 range if you're really hurting at tight end. But they're using a little bit of a tight end by committee. Like, it's not really talked about as much because Jared Cook's not, like, the staple tight end in fantasy that you're starting each week, so it's not as important. And it's not being as discussed, but they really are using Steven Anderson and Donald Parham enough to where it's like Jared Cook is definitely not a full-time player. Like 35 snaps for Cook. Anderson played 22. McKitty played 16. Parham played 16. Cook pretty much dominated routes run, which really is all that matters for tight ends, but he only had 3 targets. Like Parham had 4 targets on 16 routes. Cook had 3 targets on 26 routes. So you're hoping he scores. If he doesn't, probably not going to do much there. Let's go to the Bengals side, where Joe Burrow had a little bit of issues in this game. You know, lost a fumble, I believe. Had two interceptions. One was not his fault, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. But got hit on the pinky. Was really hurting, and he gutted it out and finished the game. But that's something to maybe keep an eye on in practice over the week. But he stayed in the game. Jamar Chase, though, 5 for 52. He's now been under 50 yards, Jamar Chase, in five straight games. And in this game, he should have been, it should have been like 6 for 130 and a touchdown. He dropped a 75-yard touchdown that not only did he drop, he bobbled it, and it went right into the hands of a Chargers defender, led to a Joe Burrow interception. Now, like, Jamar Chase, like, he was a wide receiver one for a lot of the beginning of the season. Obviously, he's not a wide receiver one anymore. But the question is, and I've talked about this a lot, is T. Higgins a wide receiver one in Cincinnati? 9 catches, 138 yards and a score on 14 targets. When he's been full go and healthy, he's had a higher target share than Jamar Chase. And we've seen that lately. The last two games, Higgins has 22 targets. Jamar Chase has now been under 6 targets in, three of his last 4 games or 2 of his last 3 games? He's averaging under 6 targets in his last 3 games. He had 8 today or yesterday. But like I said, he's averaging under 6 per game over the last 3. And the Bengals have been very run heavy with Joe Mixon. They got behind in this game, but Mixon still had 19 carries. Mixon also left this game with injury, came back, which is great to see. I don't know, like, I've always been a huge fan of T. Higgins. So, and he's getting targets everywhere, kind of like Mike Williams, but like on a more consistent basis. Like, he's getting deep targets now. He had a deep touchdown that he went over 2 defenders and made an incredible catch. He's getting intermediate targets. He's been the red zone guy in this offense for a year and a half now. So yeah, there was a stretch where it was a little bit, you know, you were a little bit worried about Higgins, but he's back in that wide receiver 2 range for me, at least. Chase is in that range too. They're both kind of like wide receiver 2s, and Boyd's like a PPR. Hopefully he has, you know, just kind of torches his own coverage defense, but he's still been mostly underwhelming when all 3 receivers have been healthy this season. One injury to note for the Bengals, Chidobe Awuzie left this game with an injury. Chidobe Awuzie, they signed him in the offseason, gave him a pretty decent contract. He has been fantastic this year. Like, really, really good. He shadowed plenty this season. He's been awesome. So if they lose him, I'll be interested to see what number one receivers do against the Bengals going forward, because he's been fantastic. So that's an injury to keep an eye on the defensive side of the ball for the Bengals. We'll see what the injury status looks like for him. All right, moving on to Tampa Bay 30, Atlanta 17. I think Tom Brady threw like 14 pass attempts in the opening drive of this game or something crazy. Leonard Fournette had 4 catches and a touchdown in the opening drive. Like, they just threw and threw and threw in this game. Brady ends up with 51 passing attempts in a game that they did not trail for a second. So that's clearly their game plan, and it worked. I mean, Brady, 368 and 4. One goes to Fournette, one goes to Brady, and 2 go to Gronk, who's been fantastic the last couple weeks. Mike Evans, 7 for 99 and on 10 targets, but, like, it's good to see Mike Evans not score and still have a good game in fantasy, you know? Chris Godwin had a franchise record 15 catches for 143 yards on 17 targets. He just dominated from the beginning of this game. I mean, the Buccaneers passing game did whatever they wanted to in this contest. Fournette, 13 for 44 on the ground, but he obviously is so involved in the passing game. I mean, 7 for 48 on 8 targets, had a receiving touchdown. The guy has been so, so involved in the passing game. It's insane. I think he's averaging like 8 targets per game since Tampa Bay's come out of their bye week, which was I think week 8 or 9. It's just under 8 targets over the last month for Leonard Fournette. Like, the usage has been awesome. Ronald Jones was out with an illness in this game, or at least left the game with an illness. Antonio Brown, we know, is suspended the next couple weeks. Everybody I just mentioned, Brady, Fournette, Godwin, like, you're literally starting every player from this team. Well, sorry, not literally. You're starting Brady, Fournette, Godwin, Evans, and Gronk in every format. They should not be on any benches. The wide receiver three position is up for grabs between Tyler Johnson and Breshad Perriman. No interest there. We know who we like from Tampa Bay. For Atlanta, they ran the ball well against an elite run defense. Cordarrelle Patterson, 13 for 78 on the ground. Mike Davis, 4 for 32 and a touchdown on the ground. And they averaged 5.5 yards per carry in this game. It was impressive. Patterson continues to look good, but the interesting thing is, once again, like, he's not playing like 70, 80, he's not even playing like 60% of snaps, I feel like. It's been, yeah, so Mike Davis actually led the Falcons running backs in snaps the last 2 weeks. He had 38 snaps in this game to Patterson's 34. He ran eight more pass routes than Patterson this game. Now, when Patterson's on the field, he gets the ball. Like his touch rate is probably one of the highest in the NFL. Like, when he's on, like, his touches per snap and everything, like, he gets the ball when he's on the field. So you're still starting him, but you would definitely like to see Patterson, who, yes, has been this team's best player, have a 65-70% snap share, but doesn't look like it's going to happen, even when he's been at his best. But you're still starting him, still gets 16 touches in this game, and he's running well. He's just looked really good this year. Russell Gage, who talked about on the waiver episode, talked about in the DFS episode, 11 catches on 12 targets for 130 yards. Russell Gage taking advantage of the opportunity to be the top receiver on this team. He has been averaging just under 8 targets per game over his last 5. He's out-targeted Kyle Pitts during that span. We know the Falcons aren't taking shots down the field, so Gage out of the slot around 70% of the time, he's going to be the number one target in this offense, especially with Kyle Pitts struggling a bit, seeing bracket coverage, seeing coverage from a team's top corners very often. Russell Gage, I mean, in that wide receiver 3 range in PPR leagues going forward, we're not sure if and when Calvin Ridley's going to be back, but if he's not back next week, Russell Gage, I think you feel pretty good about it. The Falcons next week, I believe they play, actually I don't even know who they play next week. Let's see. They play Carolina, so it's not a great spot for Russell Gage, but like, it's not a spot we're running away from. And actually, Debro talked about it with Russell Gage. AJ Bouye out of the slot has been awful in coverage, and that's where Russell Gage is going to be. I think Gilmore, when these teams last played, actually covered Kyle Pitts a lot. So if that happens again, Russell Gage could actually just eat up targets from underneath. So yes, Russell Gage, he'll probably actually make the waiver wire podcast again on Tuesday, because I don't think enough people are paying attention, but good to see. He's getting end zone targets too. It's good to see from Russell Gage. Moving on to Arizona. Welcome back, Kyler Murray. They win 33-22 in Chicago. Kyler Murray attempted 15 passes in this game, completed 11 of them, scored 30 fantasy points. 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. I honestly think one of the best takeaways from the week in fantasy was Kyler Murray, first game off the ankle in wet, rainy, you know, bad conditions, 10 rushes for 59 yards and 2 scores. He wasn't running prior to this injury, and he ran first game after the injury. That is so, so encouraging for me. And if that continues, it puts him right back up there to be potentially the top quarterback in fantasy the rest of the season. So, I mean, that was amazing to see Kyler Murray back to being, you know, that guy. He's awesome. It was great to see from Kyler Murray. James Conner continues to see a workhorse role for the Cardinals with Chase Edmonds out. 20 carries, 75 yards, no touchdown, but he has an incredible receiving touchdown in this game. So he had 22 touches in the contest. Did see the Cardinals try to get Rondell Moore some touches in this game. 3 carries, 1 catch for 8 yards. Like, it just wasn't there. You're not starting Rondell Moore. Hopkins also returned in this game. There were some reports that he might be limited. He might be on a snap count or like used situationally or something like that. But honestly, it really wasn't the case. You know, you look at his snaps and everything. Like, he played 39 snaps, led the team. The problem was they just didn't throw, right? They had 15 passing attempts, so 2 targets for Hopkins if he started them, which you probably did because you've been waiting to start them. It's kind of how it's been all year, but you're lucky you scored. Now, again, in a game where the Cardinals throw 35 times, we'll see what happens, but there's also been games where they have thrown 35 times, and there still has yet to be a game where DeAndre Hopkins has seen double-digit targets. So he's not a wide receiver 1 for me. He's a wide receiver 2, but it's good to see him back. The touchdown connection that he and Kyler had was awesome. It was just great to see them healthy, them playing well. We'll see if Chase Edmonds is back next week. That could hurt James Conner a little bit, but I mean, James Conner's been, he's just been out of this world this year. So it's like, even if Edmonds is back, I don't know how you take James Conner off the field. And he's obviously not coming off the field when they get in close. I do have to shout out Andy Dalton, though. There was an interception he threw, 1 of 4, to Buda Baker. And it looked like Buda Baker was going to get a pick six. And I was like, as somebody that has Kyler on a team, I was like, damn, it's going to take a possession away from Kyler. And Dalton slowed him down enough to where he got tackled at like the 5 or 6 yard line or something. And Kyler ends up scoring. So shout out Andy Dalton for that. With the Bears, though, Dave Montgomery was the story here. 21 carries, 90 yards and a score. He had 8 catches on 9 targets. And he was ruled down at the 1, which would have been his second touchdown of the game. 2 plays later, Jimmy Graham gets a 1 yard touchdown. So that was kind of tilting, but you still take the awesome game from David Montgomery, who, look, Khalil Herbert's been good when he's been called upon this year, but since Dave Montgomery's been back, it's been, this Bears backfield has completely belonged to David Montgomery. So you're starting him each week. And like the overall snaps for the Cardinals are down because they got a lot of short field in this game. You know, Dalton had 4 turnovers that all led to Cardinals possessions inside like the 30-yard line of Chicago. So the Cardinals didn't have to run out of plays in this game. So it's like, again, like the fact that Kyler scored 30 fantasy points just shows the amount of upside and how great he is. Other than that, I mean, Dalton really spread the ball around this game. Jakeem Grant, 7 targets, Montgomery, 9, Kmet, 7, Demir Bird, 7, Mooney, 7. Mooney's still in that wide receiver 3 radar as long as Allen Robinson is out. Cole Kmet's in that streaming radar as well, but you don't feel too excited about it going forward. Bears offense, not great. Okay, let's move on to, this is the easiest game, Colts 31, Texans 0. Jonathan Taylor's on the most ridiculous heater I've ever seen. He's now scored a touchdown in 10 straight games. It's, I think, the highest rate since like 2005 or 4 with LaDainian Tomlinson. I think only like 4 or 5 players have ever gone 10 straight games with a rushing touchdown. He's been just, it's stupid what he's doing. The only bad news about the Colts, Jonathan Taylor has a bye next week. So it's gonna be a very, 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 very tough week, but I mean, Jonathan Taylor deserves 3 bye weeks with what he's done this year. He's been unbelievable. 32 carries for Taylor, 143 yards and 2 scores. Just, what else can you say about the best running back in fantasy, the best running back in the league this year, Jonathan Taylor? And there were some concerns about the passing volume for Wentz in this game, which is why I wasn't too excited about him as a streamer or a DFS play, and that was the case. He only threw 22 pass attempts. He only threw 20 in the first meeting between these teams. So, Michael Pittman, he still had 6 for 77 on 8 targets. So, like, the fact that he had 77 of the 158 passing yards in this game, 8 of the 22 targets. Yes, T.Y. Hilton destroys Houston, but, like, we know Michael Pittman's clearly the alpha on this team. He's in that mid-range wide receiver 2 range for me, but again, he's on bye. Yeah, nothing else from this game. Really, nothing else. I mean, Burkhead got the start with David Johnson out. Didn't matter. Brandon Cooks was bad. Tyrod Taylor, I think he was either hurt or they just put Davis Mills in the game. Like, I don't even know how many first downs the Texans had. The Colts defense had like 17 fantasy points. Yeah, this is probably the easiest game I've ever had to recap on this podcast. It's just, you know what it is. Taylor is amazing. Pittman's good. Don't start anybody from the Texans outside of maybe Brandon Cooks. And even that, at that point, it's starting to come to a crashing halt with Brandon Cooks. So the offense is just too bad. All right, that was easy. This game's not too difficult either. Dolphins 20, Giants 9. Jalen Waddle just continues to produce. 9 for 90 on 11 targets. He left this game. They called it cramps. He came back, so great to see that. Devontae Parker returned to the lineup in this game. Caught 5 balls for 62 yards on 5 targets. Thought he'd be limited a little bit, but I don't think he was even limited that much. Like, I don't think he was necessarily a full-time player in this game. But he definitely wasn't like a pitch count, if I can recall. Let's see. So he played 48 snaps to Waddle's 54, and he ran 32 routes to Waddle's 37. So he really wasn't limited. Parker's been dropped in a lot of leagues. I would definitely look to pick him up. Again, they're on bye next week too, so you can't start him this week. But I don't know if Will Fuller's going to play again this year. So this offense is going to go through Waddle, Parker, and some Mike Gesicki, who they were trying to get Mike Gesicki involved. I think he had a touchdown pass hit him directly in the face. Had 11 targets, which tied the team lead, caught 7 for 46 yards. He's in that like tight end 8 to 10 range for me going forward. And then Myles Gaskin, I thought he'd have an efficient game here. Like, we know the Dolphins' offensive line does not create running room. They're bottom five in yards before contact. They're bottom five in adjusted line yards. They're bottom five in stuff rate, or top five, however you want to look at it. But the Giants, you know, bottom five in yards per carry allowed. Stuff rate, they're bad. Adjusted line yards, they're, like, worst in the league. And Myles Gaskin only has 44 yards and 15 carries. And it's not like Myles Gaskin's been efficient this year anyway. He didn't score. He had a wildcat. He had a couple, you know, inside the five touches, a goal line wildcat carry that he didn't score on. So that wasn't great, but the playing time was fine. 44 snaps. Savon Ahmed played 22. I don't even think Philip Lindsay played in this game, so, you know, that wasn't a concern. So Gaskin's in that running back two range. You're not excited about it, but he's a volume dependent running back two going forward. Malcolm Brown didn't play either, so it's like they didn't need, you know, much. We'll see if they change things up after the bye, but for now, Myles Gaskin in that running back two range. I mean, Jalen Waddle is just ridiculous what he's doing. I mean, getting 10, 11, 12 targets every week, catching, you know, eight balls every week. I've talked about it at length on this podcast, but he's been top seven in targets, top seven in first read targets all year. Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, I didn't even mention him, 244 and two. He's playing some great football right now. I think I heard on the broadcast that he had the highest completion percentage in the month of November. It was like 80% in the NFL. It was one of the highest in NFL history for a month. Like, he's playing great football right now. Miami all of a sudden is 6-7. Like, it's nice to see this from Tua. Like, if there's any questions about Tua being the quarterback for this team, like, they should have been put to rest, you know, weeks ago. And yes, are the Dolphins in their last, you know, couple games playing the greatest teams in the NFL? No, they played the Giants, they played the Texans, but, like, who cares? Like, you know, they beat the Ravens. Like, they're doing what they should do. Tua's playing great. He's completing a high percentage of his passes. Waddle's been great. Parker's back. Miami's looking promising, man. They really are. And Tua's looking like that, you know, the guy in dynasty leagues, at quarterback, two quarterback leagues. Like, you probably feel really good about Tua. Mike Glennon, I hope you're not starting him in two quarterback leagues. He started in place of the injured Daniel Jones. Just didn't do anything. Kenny Galladay left with a rib injury. He came back in this game. Didn't do anything. There was no Shepard or Tony in this game. Evan Ingram, 4 for 61. If you started him in a pinch, you're actually at that point happy he gave you that. And another disappointing game for Saquon Barkley. The efficiency on the ground was kind of there. You know, 11 for 55 on the ground. Six catches, only 19, you know, yards. I mean, at this point, like, Saquon Barkley should not be viewed as a top seven running back. Like, the upside just hasn't been there. The offense is bad. The offensive line remains bad. There's been very little explosive plays from Saquon Barkley. You're still probably starting him. I don't know how you're, like, the only situation I can imagine you sitting him is if, like, you had a Javonte Williams on Sunday night and you knew Gordon was going to be out and you played. Like, that's the situation where I would definitely would have benched Barkley. But, I mean, outside of that, like, here's some running backs. These are some running backs you can realistically have had with Barkley that you could have benched Barkley for, right? Madison. Maybe Jamal Williams, if you wanted to go that route. James Conner. Like, if you had Fournette, you've been hopefully starting. If you, you know, had three running backs or two running backs, you're starting Fournette over Barkley. That's been the case for weeks now. Maybe Miles Sanders last week, but it's like, it's still tough to bench Saquon Barkley. But you just have to understand that it's, you know, yes, he was a top five running back or close to it on draft day. And he's been, you know, it's Saquon Barkley. But we have to, we shouldn't be holding him to a standard of, oh, he's going to score 18 to 20 fantasy points each week, because he's, you're lucky if he gets 15 at this point. So it's frustrating, but that's where we're at right now. All right, moving on to the 4 o'clock games. Washington 17, Las Vegas 15. No Darren Waller for the Raiders. Foster Moreau, the chalk, the best tight end play of the slate, and didn't work out. And that'll happen sometimes. And the Raiders offense struggled to stay on the field in the first half. Moreau had one catch for 34 yards on three targets, so that was bad. Passing game continued to go through Hunter Renfrow, 9 for 102 on a team-high 10 targets. I mean, Hunter Renfrow, I feel like he's in a lot of, like, start-sit questions for flex and stuff like that. Like, should I flex him? Should he be my wide receiver three? Like, Hunter Renfrow is legitimately a must-start player in PPR leagues. Like, there's no, like, should I start him? Like, he is a must-start player. Without a question. Without a question. I mean, he has 7 receptions at least in 5 of his last 6 games. He has, I mean, just listen to the consistency here. Listen to consistency. 9 catches, 10 targets. That was Sunday. 8 catches, 9 targets. He had a dud against Cincinnati, 4 for 4. But then 7 catches, 9 targets, 7 catches, 9 targets, 7 catches, 8 targets. Like, you're getting 7 catches, 8 to 10 targets, 60 to 70 yards with a chance to score every week from Hunter Renfrow. Why would you not want to start a player that gives you that? Who knows if Darren Waller is back next week? Didn't practice all last week. Even if he's back, it doesn't matter because the offense goes to Renfrow and Waller, or goes to Renfrow and whoever the tight end is at the time. So I honestly don't want to see questions about Hunter Renfrow anymore, especially in PPR leagues where you start 3 receivers. You need to be starting him. Like you're not starting, like, honestly, like, and feel free to tweet me if I'm wrong. You're not starting guys like Mike Williams over Renfrow. You shouldn't have been. Like Devonta Smith, you shouldn't be starting over him. You can make the case some of these, like DK Metcalf. You can make the case you should be starting him over DK Metcalf still. Chase Claypool, you're starting Renfrow. Let's keep looking. I would, same game. I'm probably starting Renfrow over McLaurin each week. Like, Terry McLaurin is so good. So good. The problem is, I think other teams know that. I don't think. They definitely know that. I don't have a stat. I would like to find a stat or a metric or something that could prove this. This is just a hunch. Every time I watch Washington, Terry McLaurin's double covered. The interception Heinicke threw in the fourth quarter, McLaurin was double covered. He is doubled and has bracket coverage so often. He had a bad game here, 3 for 22. He's been very up and down. His good games are top 5 receiver on the slate good. His bad games are very bad. So yeah, like, going back to it, just Renfrow, like, start him. Start him in a PPR league everywhere. Start Hunter Renfrow. Josh Jacobs, though, 13 carries, 52 yards and a score. How about 9 receptions, a career high? Kenyon Drake left this game. I think he broke his ankle. He will be done for the year. And it is worth noting, Jalen Richard out with COVID. Didn't play in this game. So they were short running backs. They were without their, you know, pass catching running back for the past couple years in Richard. But, like, Josh Jacobs, it's not like it's just this outlier game where he caught 9 passes, right? 2 catches against Dallas, 5 against Cincinnati, 5 against Kansas City, 4 against the Giants. He ran 33 pass routes in this game. And again, yes, Drake leaving with an injury and no Jalen Richard. That's going to help get him to that amount of routes. But it's been trending upward before this week. So that is very notable for Josh Jacobs, who we'd always say, like, yeah, he gets touchdowns from, you know, short yardage, and he gets, you know, in competitive games, 18 to 20 carries, but he just doesn't catch passes. There is a chance this goes back down to 2 catches max for Josh Jacobs. But I'll tell you right now, like, DeSean Jackson is not a consistent target in this offense. Brian Edwards has been anything but consistent. Zay Jones, like, they don't have a consistent pass catcher in this offense outside of Hunter Renfrow, Waller, and whoever's out of the backfield. So there's a lot of opportunity for Jacobs to start catching 4 or continue catching 4 or 5 balls a game. We'll see if Rashard's back. He can miss another week. And if that's the case, I mean, Jacobs is a must start anyway, but he would be pushing, like, low end running back 1 numbers instead of RB2 numbers. So that is something to be very, very, mindful of. Let's go to the Washington side. I had a lot of interest in Taylor Heinicke this week. Wrote him up in the DFS article. Talked about him on the pod. Wasn't great. I mean, he scored twice, but I expect a little bit more. The touchdowns went to Logan Thomas and Antonio Gibson, who, no J.D. McKissic in this game. Gibson didn't quite have 36 touches, but he had 28. 5 catches. Scored in the passing game. If this continues, now McKissic could be back from his concussion next week. But, I mean, man, if we're getting 26 touches a game from Gibson with passing down work, like, this is what we hope for when we draft him in the back end of the first round, early second round in fantasy drafts. Like, this is the usage that's been dreamt of, you know? Like, they activated Wendell Smallwood for this game, but he played, like, Wendell Smallwood and Jarrett Patterson combined for 9 snaps. Gibson played 55. Smallwood and Patterson combined for 5 routes. Gibson ran 22. Gibson had 6 targets. He had 23 carries. Must start running back, obviously. We'll see if the usage changes with McKissick potentially back next week, but clearly this guy can do it all in the passing game. Just give him the ball. And unfortunately, Logan Thomas, I love Logan Thomas for this week and rest of season, and got off to a good start. 3 catches, 48 yards, and a touchdown, and then apparently suffered a torn ACL and MCL that would end his season. And it was tough to watch. Crying on the sideline. You love the story from Logan Thomas the last couple years too. It hurt to watch. But assuming he's done for the year, John Bates, the rookie tight end, will step in as the leading tight end. Might be on the radar in deeper leagues, but this will just only, lead to more, hopefully, targets from Terry McLaurin. Adam Humphries was kind of involved in this game. We've seen DeAndre Carter somewhat involved, but I wouldn't be planning on starting any of those guys. It's a massive blow to this offense. Thomas, so versatile, can do a lot for this team. Used to play quarterback, so if like emergency situations happened, would have been able to play quarterback in some trick plays formations and stuff. Red zone option, it's a huge loss for this team in this passing game. So, it looks like Logan Thomas will be done for the rest of the season. All right, moving on to the Rams. They dominate at home. They needed this game, 37-7 over Jacksonville. Odell Beckham and Daryl Henderson were questionable all week. Beckham was active. Henderson was active, but only to be used as an emergency running back. Shout out to Jay Glazer. He reported that, and he was plugged in. Henderson didn't play a snap in this game. It was all Sonny Michel. 24 carries, 121 yards and a score. Also adds a couple receptions in this game. I mean, you would love a running back to get the workload that Sonny Michel just got. He played 66 of 68 snaps. He had 31 pass routes. He had 24 carries. And he looked good. And after the game, Sean McVay was speaking very highly of Sonny Michel's performance. And Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the team for The Athletic, I think it was Saturday, she tweeted about how there was some talk about maybe Michel being the lead back going forward. And if that's true, this game didn't help or didn't hurt that cause for Sonny Michel to get the work. So I'm a little concerned that we're going to see either a committee or a split or a 60-40 in favor of Michel going forward. And it's weird too, because Daryl Henderson's been good this year. The last couple games where the Rams offense was struggling and they were on that losing streak, they got behind early in every game. They couldn't run the football. So I don't understand why Henderson's all of a sudden potentially a candidate to get benched. That's kind of odd to me, but we need to keep an eye on some news for the Rams in the going into the next week, because after this game from Michel, I think it's entirely possible this becomes a 60-40 type of backfield where they just alternate drives. And the Rams play a lot of no huddle, and whoever happens to be in the backfield is going to get that opportunity for that drive. So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit worried about Henderson, given some of the reports we've seen and what Sonny Michel did on Sunday and how McVay was talking highly of that performance. So if Michel, I don't know why, but if he's somehow available in your league, make sure that changes ASAP. Pause the podcast, go get Sonny Michel right now. As for the receivers, look, I said it on the waiver wire episode. D-Bro didn't believe me, but I'm telling y'all, Van Jefferson, not Odell Beckham, is the number 2 receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. Beckham, 36 snaps in this game. Van played 53. Van ran 35 pass routes to Beckham's 22. Van caught, 6 of his 8 targets for 41 yards and a score. And again, he was on the waiver pod on Tuesday. He was under 50% rostered in Yahoo leagues at that time. It didn't make any sense to me. The guy's been getting 7 targets in a lot of these games before the Robert Woods injury. He needs to be rostered 100% of leagues. I love Van Jefferson. And obviously Cooper Kupp, still the focal point here, caught 8 balls for 129 yards and a score on 10 targets. And another great game for Stafford, 295 and 3. The Rams just needed this game. But the takeaway for me, the 2 takeaways, Van Jefferson, not Odell Beckham, who did score in this game, but Van Jefferson's the number 2 in this offense, and keep an eye on the backfield. This could become, because when Henderson's been active, it's been one of the best workloads of any running back in the league. That could easily change. We need to see what happens with the Rams going into week number 14. For Jacksonville, James Robinson fumbled early, got benched for a little bit. Urban Meyer after the game said it wasn't because of the fumble. It was because he's been banged up all week and they wanted to make sure he was good. I call bullshit because Urban Meyer literally benched Robinson for a fumble the exact same way he did it in this game earlier in the year. So I call bullshit. So Hyde actually out carries Robinson this game 9-8, had the touchdown this game. I mean, Jackson was awful. I mean, Treadwell continues to play like every down all of a sudden because they're playing Treadwell and Marv in two wide receiver sets and LaVisca's playing in three wide. I will say they're giving LaVisca more snaps in the backfield, which is at least encouraging. I think he had like 5 or 6 snaps in the backfield in this game, had 3 carries. They're playing him in the slot more, but Trevor Lawrence has been awful. This passing game has been awful. You're probably still starting James Robinson next week, but he has been banged up. Like, I don't think that's why he got benched, but he has been banged up. Like, he's dealing with the heel. You know, he's been really banged up the last couple weeks, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. Pittsburgh wins 20-19 against Baltimore. Ravens go for it. The two-point conversion at the end of the game does not work out. Deontay Johnson, awesome game here. Eight catches, 105 yards on 11 targets, scored twice. I mean, just... I think Roethlisberger said it as much himself. Like, he's just unguardable. The route he ran on his second touchdown to get in the end zone just stopped on an absolute dime. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Another double-digit target game for Deontay Johnson, who, again, if Deontay Johnson plays, and if Deontay Johnson plays the majority of the snaps and doesn't leave a game early, Deontay Johnson gets 10-plus targets. That's just one of the facts of life. And you look at the last couple games, let's see. I mean, he has double-digit targets in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games this year. Sorry, 9. 9 games. Forgot to count this game. 9 games. Just low-end wide receiver 1 each week. He's awesome. I was expecting more from Chase Claypool because we've seen Baltimore give up explosive passing plays, and they were without, you know, Marlon Humphrey got hurt in this game, and Marlon Humphrey's probably out for the year, so this Ravens team has just been absolutely decimated with injuries, and it's not going to help. That's not going to help their pass defense that gives up a ton of explosive plays. But Claypool, dud. Najee Harris got the volume but didn't do much with it, which has kind of been the case for a lot of the season. But 26 touches, you're starting him each week. Freiermuth was underwhelming, 3-for-26 on 4 targets. He's in that streaming range, you know, tight end 12 or so. You know, there's upside there for sure, though. For Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, not the greatest game again. 253 and a touchdown. He had an interception. 55 rushing yards, but he's still, like, Lamar hasn't played outstanding the last couple weeks, but he's still getting you 18-20 fantasy points, so it's like, you're not benching him, so it doesn't really matter. Devonta Freeman, though. Devonta Freeman is far from the most explosive running back in the NFL. He's far from it. But when you watch him run, and then when you watch Latavius Murray run, Freeman looks like he's running a 4-4. That's how underwhelming Latavius Murray's been. And the Ravens see it, and the last couple weeks, Freeman's been the lead guy, and that continued in this game, right? Freeman ends up playing 51 snaps to Murray's 14, 26 routes to Murray's 10, 7 targets in this game, as well as a lot of it went to the running backs in this game, and he out-carried Murray 14-2, had a touchdown this game. It's weird, but like all of a sudden, the last couple weeks, it's like Devonta Freeman is in the, you know, on a team that still wants to run the football. Devonta Freeman's in that, you know, low-end RB2 range against Cleveland going forward. Cleveland this week and then going forward. Like, Latavius Murray just has not looked good. The passing game, Mark Andrews, he was getting open in this game. He had 9 targets, 4-for-50. Marquise Brown, 5-for-55 on 7. Like, just Rashad Bateman had a goose egg in this game. Just not much in the passing game from Baltimore here. Bateman wasn't even on the field for a lot of the, you know, the last drive of the game, which was definitely disappointing. It was... Their 3 wide sets were Watkins, Devin Duvernay, and Hollywood Brown, which was very disappointing for Bateman. I love Rashad Bateman, but it's hard to play him in fantasy when Watkins is there and Duvernay is getting a ton of snaps. Like, they play Duvernay a ton of snaps because they use him on jet sweeps and they get him the ball in space. So it's very tough to trust Rashad Bateman. I would still keep him on my roster, but I'm not starting him. I don't have a lot of faith in that. All right, last 2 games. Seattle wins 30-23 over San Francisco. Russell Wilson, 231 yards and 2 touchdowns. Should have been 3. Gerald Everett dropped a wide open touchdown that led to an interception. Gerald Everett, 4 catches, 7 yards, a drop and two fumbles. I think he had like minus three fantasy points. So that means I scored three more fantasy points than Gerald Everett on Sunday. And I, in fact, do not play in the NFL. So there you go. Tyler Lockett, we finally saw the rainbow ball from Russ to Lockett on the touchdown. It was only like 15 yards out or something, but it was beautiful. That's what we've been waiting to see. Metcalf, another underwhelming game, 5 for 60. Adrian Peterson comes in off the street and leads the team in carries. 11 carries for 16 yards, and he scores. Travis Homer had the fake punt long touchdown run. Rashad Penny got 10 carries. Alex Collins was inactive for this game. I'm just rambling. I'm not planning on starting anybody from this backfield, so there you go. And then for the 49ers, no Debo. Let's just start with George Kittle, finally. He was dominant this game. 9 catches, 181 yards, and a pair of touchdowns on 12 targets. He was amazing in this game. After the catch ability, just unbelievable. Brandon Ayuk, definitely disappointing given how good he's been prior to this game. And then Debo's out, but he only has 3 for 55. And then Elijah Mitchell, once again, the clear lead back. 22 carries, handles every running back carry for this team. 66 yards, a touchdown, 3 receptions, starting him every week as well. And we'll see when Debo's back. You know, Debo was getting right around 6 targets or 6 carries per game over his, you know, 3 games before the injury. So once he's back, he'll probably get, you know, 4 or 5 carries a game, and then whatever he does in the passing game. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see these reminders of how good George Kittle is when he's, you know, because obviously him blocking is a huge part of their offense, but when he's getting, you know, 12 targets, it's like, yeah, throwing him the ball works too, for sure. Let's recap the Sunday night game. We'll close it out. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody of a very, very exciting profit exchange that's launching very soon to New Jersey. It's called Profit Exchange. It is the U.S. betting chain exchange that's coming soon. It's peer-to-peer betting that gives price-sensitive users the ability to get the best odds and prices in sports betting. So you set a line or price for others to bet on, or place a bet on an existing line or price created by somebody else. Spreads and totals are plus 100 odds, and money line prices will be best across the industry. Right now, Profit Exchange, again, like I said, it's launching soon. But right now, Profit Exchange is running a pre-live promotion called Exchange the Love. Profit Exchange is going to increase the go-live deposit match offer by $25 for every 500 people that pre-register before launch. So to do that, go to ProfitExchange.com to register. Again, that's ProfitExchange.com. Must be 21 and present in New Jersey. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Sunday Night Football. 22-9 victory over the Broncos for Kansas City. Really, let's talk about Javonte Williams. No Melvin Gordon for this game. Javonte Williams, 23 carries, 102 yards. He had 6 catches for 76 yards and a score. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Showing the upside he has as a top 10 running back in fantasy when he undoubtedly becomes the clear lead back this time next year with Melvin Gordon set to be a free agent. I think this was a look into the future potentially for Javonte Williams. There's been a lot of talk about where you would draft him this time in fantasy drafts next year if Melvin Gordon's not there. I would say at least he's a second round draft pick. At least. So awesome to see the passing game. Jerry Jeudy, 4 for 77. Cortland Sutton, another dud. I said this for like 6 weeks now. I don't know why he might even be droppable, but like if you're starting Cortland Sutton and then complaining about his production, I just don't know what you've been looking at or what you've been paying attention to. The Chiefs offense was bad again this game. Passing game is brutal. Kelsey, 3 for 27. Tyreek, 2 for 22. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, it's just, their defense is playing amazing once again. Their offense still needs to kind of get it going. But you're still starting Kelsey. You're still starting Tyreek Hill. Clyde's like a mid to low end RB2 for me. Good to see him still play over Darrell Williams and get some work in the passing game as well. But that'll do it for the Week 13 recap episode of Fade the Chalk. Appreciate everybody listening. Hopefully you had a good Week 13. Again, Monday Night Football, Bills Patriots in Buffalo. It's going to be windy. It's going to be, you know, kind of ugly. But as long as the Bills come out with a victory, that's all I care about. D-Bro and I will be back on Tuesday to break down the Week 14 waivers. That's already crazy that we're in Week 14. Fantasy playoffs rapidly approaching. We'll get you ready for some waiver wire ads to help you make that playoff push. This is Adam Pfeiffer for Fade the Chalk, presented by the FTN Network. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys on Tuesday.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.